Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Yud Beit, and we were talking about the different dinim of knots, and we ended up being medayik in the Mishnah, that there are definitely three levels of knots. There are those that you would be chayev midiraisa on, there are those that you would be potter but osur on, and there are those that is mutter lechatchila, and we had Rashi's pshat so far and what all of that would consist of, which is that according to Rashi, everything has to do with the intention of the longevity of the knot. So if something is meant to be permanent, then it's a chiyuv chatas. If something is meant to be long-term, but definitely not permanent, and long-term was a machlokas between the Taz, basically, and the Shulchan Aruch, well, the Beis Yosef, as to whether it would mean even more than a day, or it would have to be something that would have to last maybe for a week or two, that's machlokas. But in any event, if it's semi-permanent, so to speak, long-term, then it would be osur min rabbanan. Somebody is not, unless I'm having trouble here, it's Barry, I can't believe it, our most careful member. I hope that doesn't mean that he discovered some kind of dermatological problem and he's alerting us of an emergency. Keep your eyes open. No problem. So, and the third level was something that is going to be used every single day and therefore is for sure impermanent to the max. And that was mutter even lechatchila, which would include various things we spoke about, your shoes, your clothing, your water bag, and so on and so forth. Now, that's true that this is Rashi's definition. I just want to put you on notice that we're going to see today that we're introducing a new issue. According to the Rambam, anyway, and many of the other poskim, the new issue being the professionalism of the knot, not simply the intent of the knot. So according to the Rambam, the question would be, how well done is the knot? So because that, remember, is also a category that we learn out of the Mishkan, the Derech of the Asiya, and that leads us to the question of whether Richie's sailor knot is really considered to be the knot on the boat that we said was permanent. Now, that would now, according to the Rambam, that would be that would be up for grabs, right? Not a chance. Okay. So according to the Rambam, we have two different elements we have to take into consideration. And that would be if it's professionally done and it's permanent, then it is a chiyuv d'oraisa. If it's either non-professionally done or only long-term, then it's d'rabbanan. If it's something that is meant to be done by everybody, it's like the equivalent of ma'aseh oman. Yes, exactly, Daniel. Precisely. That would be the language that is used elsewhere for describing the differences in malach, particularly gabe, the dinim emayit cotton of chol hamoed. So the ma'aseh oman. If it's meant to be done by everybody, and it's also not in any way meant to be permanent and even semi-permanent because it's going to be taken apart today, so then you have the heter. So in other words, there's two separate elements according to the Rambam. Anyway, the next case that we had yesterday and that we were talking about in Mishnah was that a woman is allowed to put on or to take off her blouse. Now, remember that this was a kind of blouse that was attached by two strings. One went from the left side of the blouse up to a little hole or button on the right side, and one went from the right side up to a hole or button on the left side, and would be tied there, and then you would take them both off, and then you could slip off the blouse. So asks the Gemara, well, I mean, isn't that pshita? You don't have to tell me. Obviously, a blouse, she's going to have to take on and off, right? So is there any chiddush here at all? Lo tzricha deit la trei dashi. The chiddush is that sometimes people get sloppy. So what they do is, in something like this, and I'm sure you've had this happen to you, is you put something on loosely so that you can pull it over your head without having to really take it off. People do this with sweaters a lot. So you put on, you'll leave the top buttons unbuttoned, and then you can pull the sweater off. You have to go through the 20 buttons that they have on some of these sweaters. So you might think that maybe she would do that also. She would tie the right side, let's say, to the left loosely, And then that way she could only detach one of them. She detached the other one, and that would allow her to pull it up over her hair. So then you might think, and that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. The Chiddush of the Mishnah is that even though these are types of knots that do not have to be taken apart, nonetheless, we are semech on standard usage if there would be a reason not to do that. And over here, there's a very good reason not to have a woman pull it over her head, simply because it messes up her hair. And no woman likes to mess up her hair. So because of that, she'll go to the extra trouble anyway. So it's very unlikely that there's going to be an attempt to do away with one of the knots and leave it there permanently, so to speak. No. So that she will not do it. The same thing is true over here of chute sivacha. And there too, her hat. Obviously, she's going to take off her hat. It's the same issue. That lo tzricha d'revichala, that if she's got enough room, and again, people do this with their hats, right? The types of hats that you tie on underneath your chin. So like those big sun hats, you're going to untie it every time. You very often will take it off and then let the knot stay in. So then the question over here is, would we have to be choshish for that and view this as a semi-permanent knot? A woman is careful with her hair. She doesn't want that. She doesn't want her hair to get entangled in a knot or get messed up or pulled out. And because of that, Mishra Shariyala, she will always disentangle it or untie the knot. Ritzuot minal v'sandal. The next case that we had was the issue of the shoes, ritzuot, the straps that hold on your sandal. And it says over there, there's no problem. You can tie it and untie it. But there's a bit of a problem over here because we have three braitot giving three separate dinim about what appears to be exactly the same case. And we love it when the Gemara brings those because then that gives us an opportunity to define precisely what the different stages would be in terms of the Yisra Heter. So on the one hand, Itmar, Hitir ritzuot minal v'sandal. So there's one braita that says, Tani chor yuchayev chatas. Whoa. There's another braita that says, it's potter, but it was aser min rabbanan. And the third braita says, you can even do it l'chatchila. So now we have to actually get a little bit more definitive in what we mean, because we have over kashi minal minal kashi sandal sandal. What are we going to say? Well, let's take the business about the shoes, okay? When we talk about Echiyev Chatas, remember that the shoe is sewn. So you have the actual body of the shoe. What do they call that again? Come on. I'm becoming aphasic. You know, the top of the shoe? That's sewed onto the sole. What do they call that, guys?
Upper.
The upper, thank you. That's pretty straightforward. Okay, so when they put the thread through the sole towards the upper, the shoemaker is going to have to tie a really permanent, very permanent, well-done knot there. And you can see these on the bottom of your shoes. When you pull it through, the knot's going to go and get caught inside the hole, and that will prevent it from becoming loose, the whole thing from becoming loose. And that is about as, and this is the Rambam again, as professional a knot and as permanent a knot as you're going to find. And obviously, that's not meant ever to come out. So that's talking about the Chiyuv Chatas. Yes, absolutely. But the case of the Potter Aval Oser, that refers to the kind of knots that the Rabbanan put in their shoes. Now, the Rabbanan, there's two issues about the Rabbanan, okay? They're not exactly the spiffiest dressers, right? And the other thing about the Rabbanan is they really don't have time to sit around tying shoelaces, untying shoelaces. So what you do is you tie it a little bit loosely, you know, and then you stuff your foot into it, so you don't have to bend down. And also, you don't want to get your hands dirty touching the shoes, and you got to go wash your hands. Everybody knows this issue, right? I actually have one of those big IKEA shoehorns right by the door to make sure that I don't have to bend down or trouble myself with the shoe. Leave it loose a little bit. Lo no ra. What is Bruce showing us? Ah, he's got his own IKEA thing. Okay. So that is something that when they tie their shoes, it could stay on for a week or a month or whatever. I mean, it's not totally permanent because, I mean, let's say if the weather is bad and then it gets muddy outside, when they put on their loose shoe and they get into the first mud puddle, squish, off comes the shoe and stays in the mud. So because of that, we can't view it as totally permanent. But that's semi-permanent. So therefore, it would be a sermon or rabbanan. And the case of the Mutter L'Chatchila, that's talking about the Beverly Hills crowd that lives in Mechuzah, where everything has to be perfectly spiffy, and it would be a disaster if they were caught with a loose shoelace or anything, right? So that would mean that would certainly be tied and untied today. The case of the sandal, a sandal, is also not a problem, because where it says it's Chiev Echatas, that's referring to the sandals that these Arab traders, they sell in the streets. So those are the type of sandals that are put together in such a way that they're cheapos, you know? So these are like the Chinese sandals. They're all put up. They're made by a shoemaker originally. You don't have any option to the way most sandals are, to adjust them yourself and so on. Okay, so that's the same as the ushkafi, basically, and that would be a chiyuv. The case that says that it's potter aval osir, that's talking about the kind of knots that you are meant to make yourself in your sandal. But once you tie that knot, so then you don't have to untie it because you tie. Remember, a sandal, you just flip your foot into, right, between the ritzuot. Remember, the way the sandal is made, this is important for the piece of Gemara that's coming up. The way the sandal is made, as we learned in yesterday's Mishnah in Kalim, which, of course, is going to be today's Sugya and Shabbos, and we'll quote from that Mishnah, from yesterday's Mishnah at length. But anyway, the way that the sandal is made is that we have these two oznaim coming up from the side, and then they're tied together on the top, depending on the size of your foot and the height of your foot. But once you tie that, it would not need to be untied daily. So now, according to the Rambam, this is a great example. Because over here, indeed, it might be meant to be left permanently, you see. It's just that since it's a non-professional who's going to be tying it, it's automatically in category 2 knot instead of in category 1 knot, which is the Chiyuv Chatas. According to Rashi, we're going to have to explain why it is that the individual who ties it is going to let it go for a while. Why would he let it go? That's a question. Benny, yesterday's Mishnah is not posted, according to Bobby. We got problems. Get to work, man. You know, once you take a job, you're just opening yourself up for abuse, okay? That's part of it. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, I'm giving you the job, but it's almenas that you're going to be abused. Otherwise, don't take the job. So, as Kola Terakulas says, you know, you're just going to have to sit there and take it when everybody complains that you didn't quite do it fast enough for me. So, that's how it goes.
Don't go out of your kalim from the criticism. May I
in Lano Basar.
It's actually there, but the links have changed because I joined more Mishnah.
Okay. There you go, Bobby. See, it's not as bad as you thought. Anyway, excuses, I know. So in any event, continuing on here, so then, according to the Rambam, it's great because it's done by a non-professional, and therefore it's in category 2. But according to Rashi, we'd have to explain why you would need, like he did with the shoe, if it gets muddy, so you need to be careful. And the poter avor osir, the case, that's the case. The mutter l'chatchila would be the case of a sandal danafki bebe trei. When people are very poor, then they will share their sandals. Like, we're going to have a story over here of father and son who needed to wear the sandals. They couldn't afford two pairs of sandals. So they would adjust it all the time, depending on who was going out and wearing those sandals, right? So that would be a sandal danafki bebe trei, where even though it's meant to be tied, normal people would leave it there, but not these guys, because they have to change the size every time the child goes out to the grocery store or every time the adult goes out to work. And that would be, it's only going to be there for a couple of hours. That would be mutter, even l'chatchila. And we know about a case like that, Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda, we're talking about the Rav Yehuda, was the brother of Rav Salah Hasida. So he had a pair of sandals. And he, it was all that they could afford. So sometimes he wore these sandals and sometimes his kid went out with the sandals. So anyway, he came once to Abaya and he says to Abaya, would I be allowed to untie my sandals? It was on Shabbos, and retie them so that my son can wear them. So Abaya said to him, What, are you kidding? You'd be chayav a chatas. So Rav Yehuda said to him, if you would have told me it was potter aval osir, I would have thought you were crazy, okay? So it would have been kashali. Now you're telling me I'm chayav chatas? What are you talking about? So Abaya says, well, I understand. What's the problem? I mean, this is like the absolutely permanent knot, no? Omalei, no, of course not. This is something we do all the time. We do this even during the week. I also have zinda nefik be'ana, zinda nefik be'yanuka. I'm not doing this now to make new sandals for my child. I'm doing it like I do it every day. So Rabbi said, oh, you didn't say so. I'm supposed to know what you're doing. You come to me, it sounded like you wanted to make sandals for your kid. Of course it would be okay. Rabbi Yirmiya once was walking, following Rabbi Abu and a Carmelist, listening to the learning. Anyway, so Ifsik Ritzua de Sandale, and all of a sudden, the strap broke from his sandal and it fell off his foot. So he asks, what am I supposed to do? He asks Rabbi Abu, what should I do now? Omar Leh, what you can do, very simple, find a reed on the street here, which is still damp, so it's perfectly good for feeding to your horse, you know, and that way it's not mukta, and use that reed, wrapping it around your sandal, tie it, and then you can come to a Rosh Hashanah and take it off. You don't have to leave it here. Now, there was a Maisa that sounds exactly the same, where Abaya was in a chatzer. He was standing in front of Rav Yosef, and he was talking, and all of a sudden, his sandal, same thing happened to his sandal, so that the strap broke. So he says to Rav Yosef, what should I do? And Rav Yosef says, leave it there. It's mukta. He says, I understand. Well, why are two cases different? Psak. Maishna min Rabbi Yirmiya. It seems to be exactly the same case. Answers the Gemara, in the case of Rabbi Yirmiya, they were not in a chatzer. In the case of Rabbi Yirmiya, it says beferish that avika azabatu de Rabbi Abo bekarmelit. So if he would have had to leave the sandal there, then it would probably have been gone by the end of Shabbos when he came back to pick it up. So over there, they needed to find an eitzah of how it would be that he could get it back to Rosh Hashanah. Mashenken over here, it's in the yard. So because of that, he told him, don't move it. Now, this makes no sense on the surface, right? Because, I mean, we're not matir mukta because of the fact that something's going to happen to it. I mean, all of a sudden, you're allowed to handle this and fix it so that you can use it. I mean, what exactly would be the heter for that? So because of that, there are actually many beautiful pshatim in how this would work out in the Rishonim. I think the most beautiful pshat is like this, that in the case over there where something is in the chatzar, the person who would drop his sandal would have no further use for it today. Because of that, the sandal becomes mukta, since the person has no interest in it. What am I doing with a broken sandal? Now, I'm certainly not going to walk around with a piece of straw around my sandal. Masha Enkein, in the case where it's a Carmelist, the person is not mikatse the sandal midaito because he knows he's going to lose it if he leaves it there. So because of that, he still very much wants to deal with his sandal, therefore never became mukta. And so you have the eitza to actually get it back. That makes a lot of sense. So they'll be here, hocha mintar, so the guy is not going to be thinking about it. So now it's for sure it's mukta. So Baya asked him, now here's where we get into the sugya in Kalim. Abaya asked him, why in the world is it mukta? I mean, if I want to, I could still actually wear this sandal. Because iba'ina afich lalai miyamin lismol. Does it lose its shame of a kli? It loses its shame of a sandal? I mean, certainly what I could do. Now, remember that what we've been talking about is that classic sandal in the Gemara has a flap on either side that allows the sandal to stay on your shoe when you tie it. Now, one of the flaps fell off. Basically, the sandal was a flat piece of leather. It was not adjusted for giving you any support on your foot or anything like that. And therefore, for all intents and purposes, you could simply use a sandal that was on one foot with very little additional trouble. I mean, yeah, it would be a little bit funny because it is cut a bit to the size of the foot, but you could put it on the other side. What do I care? What I care is very simply this. If I've got a sandal that cracked, so then I will repair it. as long as it's not visible. I mean, if it's the outside strap that tore, it's going to look really lousy if I fix it up. Even if it tore like close to the bottom, everybody could see it when I walk. If it's the inside that are between my two legs over there, like often I can fix it because it's not so bad. Nobody's going to notice it. So in this case, it was indeed an outside. And because of that, Abai assumed that the reason that you're telling me that it's useless, it doesn't have a shame of a kli, is because it's the outside. But it doesn't have to be the outside. If I wanted to, I could put it on my other foot, and then the outside would become the inside, right? So why are you telling me that it's considered to no longer have a status of a kli? Well, my late Rabbi Yosef said to him, I'll tell you why. Because since Rabbi Yochanan was the one who went out of his way to work out the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, it's clear that Rabbi Yochanan held that that's the halacha. And as we're going to see, Rabbi Yehuda does not ascribe to this concept of flipping a sandal from one foot to the other foot in order to allow it to retain its shame kli. What are you talking about? I'm not familiar with that. Mayi. Oh, here's where the whole sugya comes up. The brightness is like this. If you've got a sandal in which both sides, both of the oznayim, so both of what we call in Hebrew the ears, it means the flaps on the side. That's a Dumbo-like ear, I guess, right? So it's flappy ears. So we call it flaps. The Gemara calls them ears. Anyway, so if you had both ears that were broken, or both straps, the sides of the straps go to the top, that broke off, or maybe the entire undercoating, the undersole, was taken off. In all of those cases, it's completely and totally tahor. So remember, even if it had been mekabel tumah, it was mekabel tumah's midras and so on, it's still going to be tahor because it no longer has a shame kli. But what about if just one of the flaps broke off? Or one of the straps, meaning the strap link, broke off. Or maybe only most of the sole was taken off. So in that case, it's not considered to be mevatel the kli totally. And if it was tameh, it doesn't lose its tumah. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says it depends. It depends whether it was the outside or the inside. So if the chitzonav, the outside strap or the outside flap broke, then it's not going to be fixed because people will throw it out. So basically, it's sort of like a gistra la gistra kind of thing. I'm not going to fix that anymore. It loses its shame kli. And so apparently, Rabbi Yehuda did not think that, well, what's the difference if it's inside or outside? Always flip it and put it on the other shoe, on the other foot, and then the inside would become the outside, or the outside would become the inside. So why would there be a difference? Now, here is where I was referring to when I spoke about Rabbi Yochanan. So Ular Mitzamtzei was Rabbi Bar Bachana quoted Rabbi Yochanan as saying, this machlokas, which is nogea tuma, that is, whether or not it makes a difference that it was inside strap or inside flap or outside flap, would make the same machlokas legabe muktza for Shabbos. Kach machlokas l'inyan Shabbos, which is exactly what we're talking about over here. In other words, if the outside was cracked. So then Rabbi Yehuda would say, no, it is not considered to be a kli anymore, even if it's just one. It's the Rabbanan who say only if both of them were cracked. So therefore, we see that this is true when it comes to the concept of Shabbos as well, which means that the two are interrelated, just as I suggested, right? And you're saying that we should be able to carry this because I can flip it. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can't flip it, correct? Now, I want to show you that Rabbi Yochanan was pasking like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, how can I show you this? Because consider the statement, the machlokas l'inyan tumah, kach machlokas l'inyan Shabbos, and here is the key that allows us to decipher who he's going according to. Avolo l'inyan chalitza. If you would try to do chalitza with a sandal like this, and the halacha is that you have to take the sandal off of the right foot. So if it was broken, you wouldn't be able to use it for chalitza. Now, we asked over there, and here's why I tell you that I believe Rabbi Yochanan is only going to work out according to Rabbi Yehuda. We asked over there, who was Rabbi Yochanan speaking, according to who? because he kept this very open. The same machlokas would apply Tumah and Shabbos, but it would be the opposite when it came to Chalitza, right? So now, I don't know what that means. I mean, does it mean that he's saying that the Rabbonin would be murder to Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Chalitza, or does he mean Rabbi Yehuda would be murder to the Rabbonin when it comes to the Chalitza? So let's try to figure this out. So who is he talking about? If you're trying to tell me that he's going according to the Rabbonin, and therefore it means that since Benogeya Tuma, losing one flap or one strap is still not enough to be Mavato, the shame kli from it, and retains its Tuma. And the, well, that he was saying is that Midala Inyan Tuma Manavi, since it's considered to be a kli when it comes to Tuma, it's also kli Lagabi Shabbos, and therefore it's not Muksel Inyan Shabbos Nami Mane. And then the last part of the statement goes like this, but not for Chalitza. Oh, no, no. Over there, the Chalitza would be pasul. And over there, it would not be a mana. And for sure, the Rabbanan would say, no, Reb Yehuda's right when it comes to that. If it's broken on the outside, not on both sides, in the case of Chalitza, we must admit that it's useless. That doesn't make any sense at all, because that can't be what he meant, because it says beferish in the Mishnah in Yevamos that if the woman was choletz the left sandal from the right foot, then it would be kosher. And that's exactly the point. If you're going to tell me that in this case, we're going to say that they're moida to Rabbi Yehuda, that it's not considered to be a chalitza, that's crazy. The Mishnah says it is considered to be a chalitza. So it must be that what Rabbi Yochanan was saying was the opposite. Rabbi Yochanan was saying it's the same machlokas legabe Shabbos, legabe tumas, legabe Shabbos. In other words, ela aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, right? So therefore, he must have been saying that since middle inyan tumah, it's not considered to be a kli because the outside broker, we don't allow for the changing it your right side to the left side. And therefore, the Inyan Shabbos, it's also not considered to be a mana. Masha Einkein lechalitza, it is considered to be a mana. And therefore, the Mishnah in Yevamos says it's clear that if she used the left shoe on the right foot, that it would be okay, and that we don't have a problem with your flipping, which means that Reb Yehuda would have to be made of that when it comes to chalitza, you can flip the left shoe to the right foot and be yotze. So even though when it comes to other things, like Tuma, or like Mukta, Reb Yehuda holds the fact that you flip the shoe to the other foot will not give it a din of a kli. However, when it comes to Chalitza, where we have a remez that it would be kosher, even that way, there I made that it's considered to be a kosher Chalitza. Does that necessarily follow logically? I don't think so. Because, look, the fact that you can take a usable left shoe and put it on your right foot and be yotze chalitza, does that mean you can use a broken left shoe and use it for chalitza on the right foot because over there it's more appropriate? I mean, it's not even appropriate for its own shoe, its foot, for heaven's sakes. Well, how does that follow? I mean, when do we say this? We say this when, at least vis-a-vis the foot that it's meant to be used on, it is a perfectly good sandal. But over here, it is not a good sandal for the foot that it's meant to be on. So it's here, Hacha de la Milti Lavman, is not even good for its own self. Would Rabbi Yehuda, in that case, say that it's good? Because it's Rabbi Yehuda who says that if the outside of the left foot broke off, that you cannot put it on the right and then have the outside become the inside. It's not going to help you. So over here, you're telling me it will be good? No. So now Rabbi Yochanan doesn't work out according to anybody, for heaven's sakes. Doesn't work out, not according to the Rabbanan, not according to Rabbi Yehuda. So what are you talking about that he's explaining Rabbi Yehuda? He's bechlal, it doesn't make any sense. No, well, you're right, says Rabbi Yehuda. But look, what I meant was that it really is only going to work out a libra Rabbi Yehuda. And you're right about the chalitza jazz. Maybe what it should have said was, v'chein l'chalitza. And the same machlokas, meaning the same way that Rabbi Yehuda would hold that it's not considered to be a kli for Tumah, is what he would hold. It's not considered to be a kli l'gabi mukta on Shabbos. is the same way that he would have hold, which is a big chiddush. It's not considered to be a kosher chalitza. Why? Because of what I just said. That if for its own self, it wasn't good, so it's not going to be good by flipping it. So, and therefore the Mishnah wasn't talking about a broken left shoe on the right foot. It was talking about a good right, a left shoe on the right foot. And therefore, li'olam alid Rabbi Yehuda. But we have to read it as v'chein l'chalitza. And that's good for the chiddush. Hakam hashmalan. That when do we say in the Mishnah, chalitza shel smol b'shel yamin chalitza ta'ak sheira? That's only where it wasn't broken and the l'milte monahavi, where it's considered to be a good shoe for its own foot. Mashein kenocha l'milte lav monahu. Ask the Gemara. Now, by the way, I'm sure that you're all thinking the obvious question, which is, well, I mean, once you're going to change the language, so now it would work out according to the Rabbanan. The only reason we didn't say it according to the Rabbanan was because we said, well, the Mishnah says that it's kosher. How could be saying chalitza is not kosher? Now you're saying the chalitza is kosher. So, like, what in the world do we have to say? See, he's only saying a little bit of rebuta on the Rabbah. So Rashi gives the obvious answer. There would be zero chiddush in that. Because kol shekein, if the case is v'chein l'chalitza l'gabi the Rabbanan is saying it's even the case where we don't have the additional Mishnah that tells us that there's uniquely kosher for doing something from a left foot on a right foot. I mean, in the case of chalitza, I'm ready to say it's considered to be even l'gabi Shabbos, not mukta, or it's considered to be a full kli l'gabi tuma, kol shekein, it's any fool can tell you that that would be true about chalitza. The Mishnah says kol tishol smol b'yamin. It can't be, therefore, used as a solution for claiming that Reb Yochanan was explaining the Rabbanan. However, since anyone reading this daf would have learned the day before the Mishnah Kelim and Perek Chavav, Mishnah Dalet, which talks about exactly this case, then he would immediately ask the following question. How can you claim that Rabbi Yochanan paskin over here like Rabbi Yehuda, and he was saying that the din was v'chein l'chalitza? If remember, Rabbi Yochanan always holds that the halacha goes according to a stam mishnah. And the stam mishnah in Kelim says, Tnan, yesterday's mishnah, sandal shenifsika achat mi oznav v'tikna. So if one of the flaps of the sandal broke and you fixed it, it still retains its tuma of Tumas Midras, we were talking about over there in the Mishnah. And the Mishnah doesn't care which one of the flaps broke. Does the Mishnah say it depends if the outside flap broke or the inside flap broke? No. It doesn't say that it loses its shame kli when one of the flaps broke. It only becomes losing the shame kli when both of the flaps break, as we're going to continue on remembering the Mishnah. So that means that according to that Mishnah, my love, I'm assuming what that means is lo shna pnimit velo shna chitzona. Since the Mishnah doesn't specify, the Mishnah doesn't care which one it is and will essentially tell me that the halacha is like the Rabbanan and not like Rabbi Yehuda. And only if both of the flaps break is it considered to be not a mana vis-a-vis tuma. And therefore, according to this statement that we just said, that the dinim of Shabbos followed the dinim of tuma, which, of course, has been with us from the beginning of the Masechet. But anyway, so it ought to be that the Dafka Rabbi Yochanan would paskin, would have to paskin, like the Stam Mishnah, and admit that there is indeed, there would be a problem. Why would Abaye not be allowed to pick up his sandal? Says, well, no, well, maybe not. Maybe the Mishnah is only referring to a case where the inside one broke off. And since the inside is between your legs, people won't notice that it's broken. And because of that, it doesn't lose its shame kli because it's so easily fixable. No, no, you can't say that because, look, why don't you continue reading the Mishnah? You know, it's very hard to deal with people who haven't learned the Mishnah of Kalim just yesterday, you know. But if you learned it just yesterday, no way you're going to pull that over my eyes because I know the rest of the Mishnah, okay? Then what are you claiming? You're claiming that if the outside flap broke, then it would have been tahar. That's what you're claiming. Okay, so just read the Mishnah, right? The Mishnah continues on. It says, Adatani, but when the second flap breaks and you fix that, then it becomes tahar min hamidras. But it's tamei maga midras. And you remember that amazing concept that we've spoken about several times in Kalim, which is that the kli, when it loses its shame midras, because it's no longer usable for midras, it is still considered to be a kli that can be used for other things. And therefore, anything that touches it, when I now repair it, is going to have the din of Maga Midras. In other words, it's going to be a Rishon. When the second one falls off, what's going to be left is a Maga Midras ear, right? So that's what it says over there. If the second one broke off, it loses its Tuma of Midras, but it's Tomei with Maga Midras. So when it didn't have any ears, it would be completely Tahor. But what we're talking about over here is I fixed the first one before the second one, and then everything is left with the Tuma of Maga Midras, which started when I repaired the first one on that flap. So instead of saying that that would be the case, that we want to contrast the opening case, you could have said very simple, Niflug Bidida. Why do you have to talk about the case where Niflug Ashniyav and Niflug? Talk about the difference between, was it the inside flap or the outside flap? And just say, Bamed Varma Murim, when do we say that it's true, that it retains its tumas of Midras? That's only if it was the inside flap that got torn. But if it was the outside flap, then it's not considered to be a Kli anymore, and it would be completely Torah. I mean, why don't you tell me that? Because it isn't true. That's why. Omer of Yitzhak ben Yosef, okay, fine. You're right. You're right. But I can explain the Mishnah in a way that it will not be a contradiction to Rabbi Yochanan. Let me explain to you. You're assuming that we're talking about a standard sandal that has got a flap on the outside and a flap on the inside. And what we're saying is when either flap broke, it's still going to be considered to be a Kli, and therefore it's a Maga Midras situation with the new flap. When the second one breaks, now it loses the same Kli from the entire original Kli, and now it becomes a new Kli. Right? That's the idea. But what if we change the case? What if we change the case to a sandal that has actually a two-pronged flaps. There's two flaps on the inside, two flaps on the outside, and two ritsuot on the inside and two ritsuot on the outside. Look, I mean, there are sandals that hold your feet a little bit more strongly. It's not that unusual. Maybe that's what the Mishnah is talking about. Maybe it's talking about a sandal that has arba oznayim, two on each side, the arba tarsiotayim that hold these straps, right? And this way, I understand that it's a little bit weird, all right? But maybe that's all. It's trying to talk about the case where we're only dealing with the inside and therefore didn't lose its full, its full tuma. But we're not talking about needing both sides. We're talking about needing both of the straps on the outside. That's the point. And that was the difference. And look, that way, at least you don't have to say that Rabbi Yochanan is contradicting himself. I mean, on the one hand, he's saying that apparently he holds a Rabbi Yehuda. If he's explaining the whole sugya, a little bit of Rabbi Yehuda. And here, all of a sudden, the Mishnah is going according to Rabbanan. Maybe the Mishnah can also be supported by Rabbi Yehuda. And it's only talking about the outside, you know? Maybe. Ki anta Ravi, Amar Chanan bar Abba, Amar Rav. In fact, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yochanan says, ain't halacha Rabbi Yehuda. What? Didn't we just say that sins can be tied to Rabbi Yochanan and leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, that Shmamina Sovak Rabbi Yehuda? I mean, that was the whole discussion we just had. If he went to all of this trouble to try to explain why it is that the statement of Kemachlokas Bezu, Kach Betuma, Kach Machlokas B'Shabbos, and then we worked out that we said the same thing is true about Chalitza, that was all working out, only a leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, telling me that he was just like an intellectual game, but Lamaisi didn't Paskin like that? I mean, didn't we say Shmamina Rabbi Yehuda Svirale? You're right. But look, we often have different Amoraim who say over different things that Rabbi Yochanan said, which sometimes he said over different stages where he held one thing and then held another thing. So you're right. And how many times have we had Amoraim ino aliba de Rabbi Yochanan? So over here it's here. Ula or Rabbi Barbachana, we weren't sure who said it. They have one approach. Now look, it's like Rabbi Yehuda according to him. And then we have Ravin. And Ravin says that Rabbi Yochanan actually was paskening. The halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. It's not the end of the world. Now, getting back to the Mishnah in Kalim, I just want to understand that Mishnah more fully. Tanan Hazan. Remember that we also had, way back in the beginning of the Masech, well, I wouldn't say in the beginning, it was the 17th Perek, but, you know, for us, it's almost the beginning. Okay, so we had the big rule, that Kol Klei Balei Batim Shirim Kirimonim. If you're talking about a kli that somebody's keeping in his house, so over there, even if the kli can no longer hold olives, we said if it's a wooden kli, so it has the chashivas, even if it has a hole in it, you can use it for serving pomegranates. So we'll make it into a fruit dish for larger fruit. And there the shear is, until it gets a hole in it, that's the shear of Yotzias Rimonim, it was not going to lose its tuma. So now Chizkia had an interesting question. Suppose one of these wooden kalim got a hole in it, and that hole was big enough for an olive to get out of, right? So you fixed it. And now you filled it up with plastic wood, okay? And then it gets another hole right next to the plug that you had inserted. Another hole. You seal that one up. And then gets a third one. And a fourth one. Until finally, there is a hole there that if you hadn't sealed the first holes, it would have been one hole the size of a pomegranate. So is it now considered to be having lost its tuma or not? Achi shlima lamotzi rimon mau, said Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi, you taught us the Mishnah in Kalim that talks about a sandal shenifsek achat miosna v'tiknat tomei medras. And then it says in the Mishnah, and when the second strap or the second, what did I call that? The ears? Whatever. Okay, falls off. Nifsek hashnia. Even when you fix that, right? So it's tohar, you said, from the din of tuma, but it remains tamei with maga midras. So we asked you, why is it that when the first one is broken, it retains its tuma as midras? Obviously, because the second one is still there, so it's still considered to be usable and repairable. But by the time the second one breaks, the first one was fixed, right? That was the case in the Mishnah. So then why would it lose its tuma completely of midras when the second one breaks? Because the second one's breaking has a first one that's still good, so the kli is usable. So it's exactly the same as when the first one broke, which has the second one there, which kept it a usable kli, and then it did not lose its tuma as midras. I don't understand the difference. And you explained it brilliantly. And you said the reason is, as we mentioned yesterday, because panim chadashot bolakat. Once you add up the repairs, they are not the same kli that it was in the beginning. Because in the beginning was a useful. Let's imagine a case where you repaired it with different colors on the straps, right? What did I call it? On the flaps. Okay, so now before you had a black flap sandal, now you have a red flap sandal. Would you agree that that's a different sandal than the original sandal? Fine, so you forget about the colors. The colors aren't what make the difference. The fact is that you have a different sandal because by the time you added the second flap, you now have a new first flap and a new second flap. Well, that's called Parim Chadashos Bo'olakan, and therefore it cannot retain its original Tumas Midras. It's a Kli, so it can be Mekabel Tuma from its original status that was on the first flap, and therefore it will be Tamei Maga Midras, but it's not the same thing as it was, and therefore it loses its original Tuma. Well, Rebbe, that's the same situation we've got over here. By the time you finish fixing all of these holes, you've got a fixed hole that is larger than Motzi Rimon. But what that means is that you now have a different kli because it's panim chadashot. It's exactly the same thing as replacing both flaps. Even though you replaced it little by little, that didn't matter. At the point that it became panim chadashos bolakan, you said at that point it loses its tuma. It's exactly the same over here. Chizkia was blown away. Whoa. Coriale, he said, this kid is not human. Whoa, Leis Dein Barinish, what a brilliant analysis. Or others say what he actually said was, now this is a man. A human being is supposed to be able to think like this. Very good. This is mashma that maybe he had actually set up the question waiting for the comparison. Which brings up the question of what exactly is the standard of humanity that we expect. So, Omer Rabbi Zera, Omer Rava Barzimuna, Look, let me tell you something. If the Talmidei Chachomim, you know, the Tanoim, if you call them that they were superhuman, so they were basically like Malachim. I mean, they weren't human the way we know. So then we can call ourselves human, you know? But, I mean, if you're going to call them human, Im Rishonim B'nei Anashim, then we are a bunch of asses. I mean, it's like, forget about it. So we must be Chamorim. And when I say we are Chamorim, let me tell you something. I don't mean the kind of chamor that Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa had, or the kind of chamor that Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair had. Oh, no. Those are smart chamorim. I'm talking about the garden variety chamorim. That's the kind of asses we are. So you remember the beautiful story of the chamor of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. And the case of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, Rashi must have had a different gears in the Gemara in Tainus, because he brings it for Tainus. It really isn't in Tainus, because in Tainus the story is not said about Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, but there is a medrash about Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa that describes that the bunch of ganovim once stole Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's chamor, and it would not eat, absolutely refused to eat anything. And so by the third day, the thing was about ready to die. So the reason it wouldn't eat was because they were feeding it things that weren't meiser, right? So the chamor refused to eat it. He doesn't eat any kind of, where's the hechsher about that on this? He's not going to eat it. So because of that, they finally said, oh, what are we going to do with a stinking corpse of a donkey? Just dump it back in his yard. So they threw it back. They threw it back into Rav Chanina ben Dosa's yard. And the story of Rav Pinchas ben Yair was also was similar. And that was a case where they were trying, he had come to an inn and they were trying to feed it and refused to eat for the same reason. It wasn't meiser. So they asked him, I understand, but if it's meant for animal feed, then it's not mechuyev to be meiser. So Rav Pinchas ben Yair said, well, it's machmer on itself. This is a very frum donkey. So it refused to eat over there also until they meisered. Okay. There's also another story over there. It talks about a chamor that was a taxi cab. But it didn't need any driver because it was actually one of the first examples of a Tesla. And all you needed to do was, you know, you called in the order for this thing and this thing arrives, you know, there it is. And you don't know what to do. All you do is you get on it, you know, and it takes you where you want to go. And then you get off and it refuses to move until you put in the right amount of money in the cash box. So if you put in too much money, it won't move until you take the change. If you put in too little money, it won't. And nobody likes to have this chamor parked in front of their house. So because of that, it was also a rather intelligent chamor would be able to work out precisely what the charge was, because it was a separate box for tips. But anyway, so that would be the kind of chamorim we are. Okay, continues on the Mishnah that you're allowed to tie and untie nodot yayin v'shem, which is, I mean, really obvious because you're certainly, the whole point of those things are to get a drink. I mean, well, you're not going to untie it to get a drink? Pshita, lo tzrich dite tarti uni. It's talking about over here that you have a secondary opening. And a secondary opening would be to allow the liquid to go, to drain out quickly into your mouth instead of creating a vacuum inside. And so you could open up a little flap on the side. So you might think, okay, so then if you do that, maybe you would pour out the wine or whatever you've got in there from the other opening, and you wouldn't actually ever open again the one that you retied. And therefore, maybe it is a long-term knot. Maybe it's not something. That we're not chayshashan. The next case we had was the type of, we compared it to the plastic with the little elastic on the outside you spread over a bowl, and it keeps the contents of the bowl fresh in the fridge. So then they didn't have the elastic, but they had like a little schnotzeis that you would tie, and that would keep whatever was in the bowl fresh. Well, then obviously, if it's in the fridge, you're going to be using it. So ask the Gemara, it's the same thing. I mean, so then it's parshut. Of course, you would have to untie it today sometime to eat. Well, what we're talking about over here is the itle shalacha. Actually, it's talking about where there's a way to get stuff out of the pot through like a spout on the side. You know, I mean, it's not the easiest way to get your cholent, but so maybe you would leave the knot tied on and just pour things out from the side. Again, we're not Christian in all of these cases. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, you can tie a rope in front of an animal to allow it to go out, which is, again, I mean, it's very obvious. You don't intend to imprison your animal. You're just putting it in until the next time that it's time to get out into the field to do a little bit of grazing about or something, right? So what's the chiddush? Pshita. Well, it's Talmud over here that you've got two different... Now, there's two ways of understanding this. Rashi is not sure, and you'll see immediately what the issue is. One approach is that there are two ropes across the stall. So one of it is close to the bottom, and one of it is close to the top. And the Mishnah is saying, and the Gemara is saying that the Mishnah means to say the Chiddush, that Rabbi Yehuda ben Yaakov is saying, don't think that there is a problem of maybe the guy will lead his cow over the lower rope. I mean, it's a little, you know, maybe he'll slip, but then I just make sure that pick up your feet and get out, and I'll just take off the upper rope. Kamash Malan, that you won't do it that way. But the other pshat that Rashi thinks is that maybe what it's referring to is one rope, but you tie this rope from both ends. In other words, when the animal goes in, you don't pick up rope from one side and tie it to the other side, but you've got like two little poles, and you tie the rope around both poles on either end of the barn or on either end of the stall. And the chiddush would be that you might think, Mao de tema, so you might think that in this case, maybe you'll leave one person permanently. Therefore comes along Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov to say, you don't have to worry about that. Now that is not as clear because obviously there is a great convenience in leaving the rope permanently tied on one side. I understand if we're talking about one rope above the other, which is Rashi's initial explanation that over there, it's inconvenient to get your cow out every time I have to make sure that it gets its feet over the rope. But this one is not so clear. Rashi is not ready to commit to it. Anyway, Rav Yosef, Rav Shmuel. Now here goes ahead Rav Yosef, and he does the same shtick he did before. And he says, the halacha is like Rabbi Yosef ben Yaakov, and Abaya attacks him the same way that he attacked him before. Abaya was not in favor of making statements that are only useful for hit tunes. So what do you mean, says Abaya? What do you mean halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov? Halacha michlal de pligi? Well, there's a machlokas that you need to... There's somebody that you know of that holds that you are not allowed to tie in front of your animal on Shabbos? So Rabbi Eliezer said, what do you care, man? Stop being so pedantic. My nafka lechamina. So if there's nobody who argues, so for sure the halacha is like, it's like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, says Abaya again. Understand. Gemara is murat today. You're telling me you're giving over things for people to remember and remember that. Look, what if this is not a bunch of hit tunes in a popular hit parade? You have to say things that are intelligent. You know, there's this this really weird shot by the Tiferes Yisrael. It's a little bit of an embarrassing shot. But anyway, but he suggests sometimes in the Mishnayos that since we see in the Gemara that if you learn without a tune, so then it's considered to be, the Gemara even considered the possibility of whether maybe it's called chukim and lo tovim or mishpatim lo yichyubam. The Gemara said, just because the tune is the wrong tune. So, okay, but it certainly, you're supposed to have a tune because that tune actually allows you to remember that halacha. So it's like another way of making a siman for something. So it's very evocative, associative for your memory. So there are places where he says that maybe the gears of the Mishnah this way is to fit the tune. So then Abaya apparently did not like his pshat too much. We're not going to give over piskei halachas just to keep the tune. Okay. All right. So much for Bob Dylan today. And Bezrat Hashem. Wasn't that great having yesterday's Mishnah? Come on, it's unbelievable. Mamish, word for word, all of the issues that we talked about yesterday, Ponim Chadosh Hasbo Lekan, fantastic.